Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Over Smiling Faces podcast on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. As always, I am joined by Decker, Mark, and Mr. Stephen Best to discuss another absolute shit show. Something which we've spoke about plenty of times this season. The last few weeks has been a little bit different, but we came crashing back down to earth against Arsenal. Let's just get straight into it, boys. Decker, sum that one up
Yes.
for me.
Well, pretty much what I was expecting, to be honest with you. I had absolutely no real hopes going into it. In fact, I was actually out with the family and I didn't even see it live, if I'm honest. I watched a bit on Sky Go when I could get signal. Then I recorded it and I watched the game twice when I got back, for me sins.
Twice?
I watched it twice.
Why?
I was that furious the first time I watched it. I watched it again the day.
That sounds perfectly normal thing to do, mate. I was that furious I decided to do it again.
Yeah, well, I won't be doing that while I'm on duty, but that's another thing. But yeah, no. Well, I'll quickly just mention one thing about the lineup. We haven't spoke at all, have we? Really, the four of us
Not
until
really,
this
no.
moment. So I'm actually quite
No,
interested to see what you think.
well, there's a comment in there before you go on, Decker. There's a comment there asking why we haven't done a watch along this week. We're just all busy, to be honest with you. It's one of those things where if there's 2 years I can do it, then fair enough. But it's always better if all four we can get together. I didn't want it to be half-assed, so that's why we didn't do it, basically. But yeah, Decker, carry on. Sorry, mate.
I don't know, sorry. My last had booked tickets for Beamish. Was it always meant to kick off at this time on a Sunday? Or has that been moved?
I think it changed, if did not change, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm sure it was meant to be Saturday.
I can't
Positive it
remember,
was.
mate. I can't remember.
But anyway, she booked the tickets and I went, it's fine, why there's no match on. And then as it turns out, of course there was. But yeah, so when I seen the starting lineup though, I've got to be honest, I was actually quite like pleased. I was quite excited really by the lineup. I thought it was a really good team. And I thought, and I seen Arsenal's team and seen the amount of changes that them had made, and I thought, hey, maybe we've got a chance to get at them here. You know, really put them under a bit of pressure. We've been in decent form, you know, if you can say that. We've done all right the last few weeks. I don't know what your thoughts were on the team. Were you similar to what I'm saying?
Well, in our WhatsApp group, I think everyone was happy with the team. Obviously, Joe went, and obviously he was benched, and Callum Wilson came back in, and that was the only change, if I remember right. Was only
Yeah,
that
it
one.
was.
So yeah, what were your thoughts on it, Mark? In regards to
Yeah,
lineup?
so I obviously did the pre-match preview. So I was talking about the fact that was probably the only change that we were likely to see was Wilson coming in and starting. It would more likely be an unchanged team. So that's what I was expecting, and that's what we got. I also had a false sense of what Deck has just been saying there is like you thought with a bit of run of form that we'd been having in the previous weeks, a bit of improvement in performance, the way Arsenal have been playing, where they've been shocking and have lost a lot of their games in recent weeks. You just think there's no better time to play them than at the weekend with the way both of the teams are, and in typical Newcastle United fashion, they do what we should have really expected to happen, and when you think it's going to go well, they just don't bother turning up and throwing a half-assed performance, which is definitely what they gave for.
Yeah, Bessie, you returned to football yourself this weekend. Could you
Yes.
have done a better job being in that team than some of the players?
I'm going to be perfectly honest here, because I don't know if any of the lads I was playing with yesterday watched this, but I wouldn't have got a game for. I was shocking. I was absolutely. I made Shelvey look like a hard working kind of quarterback. I would
Oh,
lift.
you're not in goal like Bestie. We're not in
No,
goal.
no, I, no. I, it
No.
was just game seven aside, like so.
All right.
But I've been saying for ages that I'm not going to start playing again, because my ankles would be like a pestle and mortar. You know, they crush up like peppercorns or something. And it turns out that is exactly the noise my left knee's making at the minute. It's kind of, I don't know, something's come loose in there, but it sounds like I'm walking on gravel when I bend my left knee. So slightly alarming. Like, but yeah, I mean, I didn't really. Because I was playing, and I had a me and Amy picked did a click and collect shop for when, so I didn't really watch much of the game at all. I was working as well, so I kind of caught bits and pieces here and there. But I kind of to echo what the lad said, you look at that lineup to start with, having considered like the last three, four games, and you think, it's the change, the one change, Joe Linton going out for Wilson. is probably the one that you would make. You don't upset a winning team, or a winning team, you know, kind of a team in comparative decent form too much. But Wilson's, by any metric, a better footballer than Joe Linton. So you get him in and you think, oh, well, it's going to be better. But it was just awful from what I saw. It felt like the thought of playing the Invincibles. Like, not Arsenal in 2021, who are 11th in the league and kind of have got, who aren't really a great team. I mean, for all that, one of the big six, apparently. This is as poor an Arsenal team as I can remember since, like, Bruce Rioch, before Wenger was manager. So, I don't think there was really any reason not to try and have a go at them. I was very, very disappointed with how they
went about it. Obviously, on a weekly basis, we have a run-up to these games where we'll do the likes of our previews, whether that be by audio, podcasts, or videos, speaking to away fans of the team that we're about to play. We've done a couple of this week. Obviously, Mark done his preview along with Chris and Daryl. We also had a couple of lads on, so a couple of Arsenal fans alongside Matty, which was a fantastic watch. And I did one for Arsenal channel as well, the Chronicles of a Gunner, and no Arsenal fan was confident going into this one. And I think it was more likely Newcastle fans were sitting on the side of the fence where you're thinking, we can get something out of this one. And myself, I thought, oh, we'll get at least a draw from these. I honestly thought they would have one eye on the Europa League, and evidently that they made eight changes from obviously the defeat in Valencia. Was it Valencia where they were? Wasn't it?
Villarreal.
That was Daryl's mistake that he made as well.
All right. Is Villarreal not in Valencia?
No.
Nowhere near. But they stayed there an extra night as well, if I remember right. And obviously the Dwale coming back, the one he came back on the Friday for the game. But it was Newcastle of old, wasn't it? It was just, Decker, you've used this phrase many a times, where we just didn't land a glove on them. And it was all them. We were happy to sit back, let them control the game from start to finish.
Well, for me, this is the type of performance that we see just too regularly under Bruce, isn't it? It's just, you know, we might string three, four. Well, that's not very often, I will say that. But we might string the odd result here or there together. A decent performance, maybe for 45 minutes to an hour. But then just too frequently we see this type of performance getting put in where... I wouldn't even necessarily say that, you know, yes, you can criticise we're sitting back, but there's a real lack of effort across the board, summed up by your captain yesterday. The second time I watched it, I actually decided to just watch Shelby for a long part of the game. My God almighty, he was atrocious. Absolutely horrendous on Sunday. And I think, you know, that's just one player, but every single one of them, in my opinion... Sane tried a little bit, a few runs here and there, but the rest of them didn't really. I honestly don't think anything brother broke a sweat. Honestly, I don't. And as I mean, for the start there, we see this performance every five games, every four games, where they just don't turn up whatsoever.
Yeah. Like I said, we're pretty confident having Wilson back in there, but I think he made two touches in the opposition box in that first half. Whether those were decent touches or what, I can't even remember. Bessie, you said before we started recording this that you can barely remember parts of the game. It was just one of those where everything just passed by, and it was a game where it felt like it went on for hours and hours.
It felt to me like, you know, those... I was actually going to write a tweet about this during a game last week. I forget which one it was now. Where, you know, when you're watching the match and something will happen, they'll show a replay, and you think, oh, we've got a goal kick. And then the kind of footage goes back live and the other team have got the ball again.
Mm.
Whenever I looked at it, it just felt as if Arsenal were kind of had the ball in our half and we were sitting back and couldn't do anything with it. The only touch I remember Wilson having in the box was from an Arsenal corner that everyone missed, and he cleared away from, I think, Aubameyang at the back post. And you can see even then, Wilson's like, he's about number 13, but he's a centre forward, and he's having a go at the defenders for not doing that job properly. Then he's kind of saying, oh, yeah, boys, what's going on here? And I think it was it would have been 1-0 at that point, because it was there.
Yeah, I remember that bit, mate. Yeah.
It kind of felt like that to me. It felt as if, again, like I say, I watched a really kind of truncated version of it, you could say. it felt like I was watching a highlights from like an Arsenal perspective, because Newcastle just didn't lay a glove on them, as I'm sure we're going to try and get a mark say at some point, because me and you and Dick have all kind of used that quite a bit. Like, but I just, it was just rubbish. Like, it was almost kind of getting back to the form that you'd expect, the form that we've seen this season in however many games, where they just don't seem to, Arsenal seem to know how to attack the game. And we've criticised Bruce for this before, where he doesn't have a plan B even weeks in advance. Arsenal knew how to play against Newcastle, and Newcastle just went, oh, that's it then. Well, on the next one, you know. Yep. But Valencia is about 50 mile from Villarreal, so.
Close. See? Close.
I'm not walking it. I'm not pushing a shopping trolley that distance. Like.
Close to that as well, mate. Close to that as well.
No, not on my knees. I'll be sitting in it.
Well, I'm not pushing that one, mate.
I'll just take the flag that I can push this time.
Mark, anything? Actually, we'll go to their opener, their first goal. As always, Newcastle United gift players goal scoring opportunities. This time, first goal in the Premier League after 60 odd games. I think he had the lad had played, and
Newcastle, we'll see you now.
Exactly that, mate. What I want to touch on is there's plenty of chances there for Newcastle to deal with that, plenty and plenty. But obviously, the ball lands to the goal scorer, and a lot of criticism coming Dubravka's way, saying Dubravka should have done better than that one. As always, it causes arguments with everyone. It causes a debate in our WhatsApp group. What's your thoughts on it, mate? Because I'm pretty sure you stayed quiet on this one.
Yeah, I didn't think he was particularly at fault for it. It was a decent strike from their player, Elneny.
Here we go. Right. If you notice, if you go back 10 seconds, you'll notice I didn't see his name because I wanted to see it.
I was trying to remember how it went.
Melanie who? Melanie Blatt?
Elneny.
Melanie Strikes.
But I don't know. I think trying to blame him for that is a bit harsh. Like, I don't think you can really point the finger at him to say that he should be saving it. It was a well struck shot. He's gone over, and yes, he's got a hand to it, not a particularly strong hand, but I don't know if it was just because it was just a little bit too far for him to get at. I just think it was a very decent finish from their player. So
yeah, I think you should save it, like, to be honest, like, personally. Like, no doubt about it, in my opinion. And that isn't just because I've said that doesn't mean I want Darlow back in. This seems to be this horrible argument where if you're criticising Dubravka, it means I want to shag Darlow. That's not the case. I still, Dubravka is fine. Everything's all right. I just feel in that moment you should save that. How would you do?
I do as well. I think you should save it. I think he gets across to it well enough. He gets enough of a hand on it that he should get it away from me. It's another one.
You should tune from the weekend then.
No, I said that at the time. Nope.
Best he said straight away that he should do. That. It was me that was saying that. He obviously, I think it's too powerful. He does get his fingers to it, but I think he just hits it. So I think he actually hits off his, he doesn't even connect well with it. I think it hits off his shin or his lower shin. But yeah, for me, once again, it's split 50-50 on this one. We'll have to go and get that Amstel bottle cap and flip this one and see if the Dubravka's at fault for it.
The shot should have been stopped before it even gets to your keeper, though, shouldn't it? The amount of chances we had to clear it and stuff like that's the thing.
It's another one of those ones where it's kind of come back between the lines almost, where they've cut it back. And it's been, we've been unlucky in that kind of Aubameyang's miss hit his shot and it just happens to have fallen to Elneny. But we look at the replay and they've got one from behind when Elneny hits it. I'm just repeating his name because I know how to pronounce it. He's about 22 yards out, and like Longstaff looks as if he's kind of caught between the defence and the midfield again. But I think he's just following in, looking for it, and he's not expecting Aubameyang to miss hit it. So he's kind of then. So I think it doesn't look great on Longstaff. And I think I did criticise him to start with. Look, man, it again. And they should do better. I mean, it's a ball back from the byline. And how many times, I say this, it feels like every week now we concede a goal where they've got the byline. It's like a FIFA goal. Go to the byline, cut it back, and there's someone on the penalty spot.
Bestie, if you go a little bit further back in that replay, it must be in the same one which I've watched along with you there. is Selvey stood once again in the middle of halfway line and the edge of the box. And the player just steps it up a little bit, just doesn't even have to sprint. He just jogs past Selvey. Then Selvey obviously makes a half-horse run when it's too late.
He didn't even run.
That's exactly what happens.
Didn't even run.
That's exactly my point, because I know you have mentioned a few times there, but we had umpteen times to clear it. I actually didn't think we did. What I will say, it was pretty much a long ball that Dummett couldn't track for some reason. Benayoun, what do you call him? What's the right back call again? I don't want to get wrong here and do a mark. Benayoun, isn't it? I just don't want to say it wrong.
It was Bellerin, wasn't it?
He's done well to get where he gets. But as you said, Aubameyang there, he's fluffed his shot, right? But how a lad can be on the edge of our box completely unmarked to have a free shot, that's what's unacceptable. And it's what it isn't. The whole team, right? It's them two centre midfielders are not good enough. I'm telling you now, they're not good enough. Longstaff or Selvey just aren't good enough. They haven't got the legs, man, to play in midfield. And Selvey just wasn't switched on at all. And to have a free shot from the edge of our box is just unbelievable. But how we just started so poorly, though, didn't we, in that game? We didn't play well throughout, but I mean, Christ almighty, when you think of the form that we've been in, you know, decent point away at Anfield, and that's the first 10, 15 minutes that you give, it's absolutely shocking.
Well, you concede early in both games. They must saw the complete opposite against Liverpool. We saw a reaction against Arsenal there. There was nothing. Absolutely. They buried us in the first 5 minutes.
It almost felt like we had nothing to play for. It was as if we were already safe, and there was nothing really on the game. Everything was fine. It was a weird attitude from them, I thought.
The Liverpool game was a strange one. I thought, like you were saying there, Chris, like very similar in that they conceded the first goal within like 5 minutes, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But the chances Liverpool had the week before last year they could have, if they had their shooting boots on, Liverpool 12 months ago would have put 5 or 6 past it at least. And we wouldn't have had half the chances that we had, because obviously they didn't have the main men, the centre-half. Like, so the Liverpool game was a funny one. And again, I mean, I'm saying this, I still think that the point was probably, you could say it was certainly, say it was fair. This Arsenal game at the weekend there was just nothing. There was nothing there from Newcastle to suggest. It was almost like the thought, oh, well, we're safe now, so we'll just kind of, we'll phone it in.
It really did look like it was holiday mode from the players.
We'll save ourselves for Sheffield United and Fulham at the end of the season, maybe. It kind of felt like that a bit.
Yeah, it was a deplorable performance. It was awful. And again, we mentioned at the start there about the respect that we showed Arsenal. You know, and we've done this many times against Arsenal recently. You know, I'm sure we've sat here and said it's one of the worst Arsenal teams we've ever seen, this one. And we say it every time we play them. I remember we went down to the Emirates not too long ago there. Lazaro got his arse pulled out. We got beat 4-1 or something. I don't think they had won a game in about 10 games or something. Newcastle rocked up, they scored 4. It happens time after time after time.
Could have been more at the weekend as well. Miggy cleared one off the line.
He did.
A few times I noticed as well for when they were getting corners, Miggy looks like he's going to close the short corner down to stop that from happening. Then you could hear clearly over the microphones Dubravka was shouting, Miguel, come back. And obviously he was getting him back on that front post. It worked, obviously. If Miggy's not there, that's in the back of the net. It was a great clearance. But with Almir on, once again, this game, it's just gone by. And I don't just want to look at this one game, because the game go past everybody. It's just, for all it's worth, earlier in the season, these pundits were saying Newcastle have been bad because they haven't had Wilson, Almiron, and say maximum fit at the same time, all started the game there against Arsenal. It's one of the worst performances we've seen all season.
To be fair to Miggy, though, he was getting asked to play in a midfield three. He was basically playing in a three holding midfielders, wasn't it? With the three of them, and then you had Saint in front, and then Wilson in front of him, or the two of them up front, kind of together for most of the time. So it's no wonder we're not seeing the best of Miggy when you're asking him to play in that position. The times when we've looked good with having Wilson, Saint, and Miggy on the field together is when they've played as a front three.
Miggy looks lost, doesn't he?
There wasn't any point where we had them three playing up top together. He's asking them to play in a role that's alien to him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you. We said this last week, that Miggy's been played out of position. We've said it for the last couple of weeks now. But how do you make that work with those front three? Is it just simply what you've just said there, Mark, where we've got to play them as the front three, or what?
Well, that's where we've got all of where we're decent form and decent results from. in the past. But to do that, we have to go back to a back four.
Yeah.
And he's just unwilling to do that at the minute, isn't he?
When they hit a little bit of form, not long after Graham Jones came in, when they beat Everton. I seem to recall they beat Everton. They had Wilson kind of on the right hand side, didn't they? The three Elmer on through the middle.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Saint Maximin on the left, and I think, I don't think that's necessarily the best way to play them because Callum Wilson, you'd say, is going to be most effective. But there again, he scored two that day, so maybe I'm talking up the arse here. I don't know, but I think it's getting to the point now where you think, well, how do you fit them all in? Because I think Miggy certainly is better through the middle, behind the front man, maybe. Saint Maximin, we've seen this is the worst game he's played since he came back from injury. We've had four games where he's been excellent playing through the middle, but with Joe Linton. So yeah. I saw someone in the comments earlier saying that Saint Maximin and Wilson maybe can't play it together. Maybe they're a bit too kind of, and I don't know how true that is. Maybe they just need to get a bit of a relationship going there. But it's a bit of a shame that we're at the end of this season. In fact, well, yeah. This season, because it's Wilson's first season there. In fact, now we'll go back to the start of last season as well. We've had Saint Maximin and Almiron in the squad or in the team, and we still don't really know where best to play them. And after two full seasons, that's not really good enough, is it?
Mate, doesn't surprise us, though, Bruce. Doesn't surprise us. Yeah,
I think we do know where to play them. The problem is that ideally you want Miggy and Saint both on that left hand side. And well, they can't both play there.
The other problem you've got is with Bruce, obviously, forever and a day has been telling me he wants to go to the back four. He's tried that, and for whatever reason, long term, it hasn't worked. So now he's reverted back to the five. Richie's came back in to play left wing back, which we've all praised, and we've been quite happy with Richie.
Yeah, it's been good.
So
yeah.
It does make it difficult to fit the players in. You know, he's almost just playing his names at the moment, isn't he? And almost just putting them on the field and hoping that something just happens, and I'm afraid it doesn't work. That's not going to work, you know what I mean?
Is Mankio still injured?
Did he not make an appearance as a sub a handful of games back then? He's just disappeared again.
It's just because obviously to get back to a back four, you've got to have a right back and a left back, and your only option, because Kraft has been awful, as we know, is to get Mankio playing out there on the right hand side, and then you've got to either bring Lewis back in and put him at left back or move Dummett across there. But that, again, as we've just said, leaves Richie out of the team, which is his form and appearances have coincided with the turnaround in performances and results. So it is a tough one to work out. And that's the thing. You don't know what the best team is because we don't get to see. We don't experiment with the formations. He'll go with it for a couple of games and then it doesn't work. So he'll then revert back to type and go back to what he knows.
The thing is, though, as every game comes along, I still think we look dangerous on the counter-attack. I do look like we can get up the field pretty quick. Obviously,
twice
because
the Saints, yeah,
it's literally give Saint the ball and go all the way up the field. Then it's just the case when that happens that there's one player in the box. There was a couple of times that happened, just options weren't there because once again we'll go back to that midfield, and when you've got Longstaff and Shelvey in there, the pair of them are slower than anything, so they just don't have the legs to get there, unlike the likes of Joe Willock, who we can see that can make those late runs into the box, and we've seen it god knows how many times. I'm not sure if he was noticed this, and it was later on in the game. In fact, no, I think we're still 1-0 down at this point. And Saint had the ball on the right hand side, and he starts dancing. Just before half time, starts dancing, doing step overs on the side.
Yeah,
and
it was right corner, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's Richie. Hear him over the microphones just saying, just cross it like that. So at the point there, it must have been just before half time because obviously the minutes were ticking down, and Richie just wants that ball to come in the box, and Saint's doing his step overs. Well, I'll come to you, Dekker, because I know you're a big fan of Saint. Is this one of his downfalls?
Well, I mean, I just find it very hard to criticize him, if I'm honest, when he does bring so much to the team. Like, all right, he might not release the ball, maybe, you know, maybe at the right time every time, or maybe he should cross the ball. But I mean, Richie put in about, it felt like 300 crosses yesterday and every single one went to the goalkeeper. Like, the other problem we have as well, we've got one in the box. We've only got one player in the box and we do not get, whereas Willett would probably be an option of getting forward, of course. I know he couldn't play yesterday anyway. To quickly touch on the formation, I was thinking there again. I mean, we're playing five at the back. So you've got three centre-halves, right? And again, yesterday, he played three centre midfielders. In a sense, he had Almiron left of the three. You don't need to play six technically in the centre. You could have three and then two sitting and allow Almiron still to be breaking forward. He doesn't have to have that three in midfield if you've got three centre halves, in my opinion.
Especially when they only played one striker. They only had Aubameyang up front.
He only had one striker. I don't really understand why I have to do that. But Sane, for me, I mean, Sane's been playing, like, Liverpool game was through the middle, you could say. Sometimes off the left, but it was through the middle. For me, though, when he's most dangerous, I have to admit, it's from the left. You know, like, coming inside. That for me, is his most natural. He can play through the middle. He can do it. But I do feel, in terms of bringing the best out of him, and certainly as a team, I think he is better out the left, in my opinion.
But once again, Digger, we can't just rely on Sane all the time. And this is what Steve used to doing at the minute.
Yeah, well, we've seen this before with Almiron, where Sane hasn't been there. Almiron, bless him, is just picking the ball up and just running. Yeah. And there's nobody up there. It's so amateurish, isn't it, the style? Like, it's just giving it to him and hoping for the best.
It's part of Sunday League, isn't it? Give it to the fastest player.
Yeah. And you're asking him to beat everyone. That's what we're asking him to do every time he gets a ball. Go on, Sane, take everyone on. It's when you think of it like that, right? When you watch for play, it is like that, isn't it? Every time he gets the ball, you're like, go on, then just take them all on. Like, that's what we're asking every single time he gets the ball.
There's no other choice, is it? Because he's the only one in that side of the field.
It's insane, really, like, insane.
It is. It is. In regards to performance wise, obviously, we saw everyone's performance drop massively. Even defence, I know there's a few times, and Mark, I think it's you that hates doing this when they play the ball across the six-yard box. They've done it quite well at times against Arsenal, but they still look a bit edgy when they're doing it, don't they?
The difference is they could get away with it against Arsenal because there wasn't anybody putting pressure on them to try and win the ball back, as opposed to when we played Liverpool, they had three on as soon as Dubravka kicked it off. Yeah. So that came from the difference in formation. So they had a little bit more time to do something with it. But the problem was is they didn't do anything with it. They just got the ball out from Dubravka, and then invariably they gave it to Shelvey, who was like, 5-10 yards in front of them.
Yeah. What I want to mention as well,
was also poor there as well. Look, every time Longstaff came and collected it off a defender, you've got in them moments you have to be brave and turn with the ball, physically turn with the ball and have a look. It was all very much back to goal. So Clark and Fernandez might be passing it around. They'll go to Shelvey. Shelvey then just goes back to Clark. And then all of a sudden you're just inviting pressure and you can see it coming. They're going to go back to the goalkeeper. You can see it coming. Every time.
They're just going to get lumped.
And that's where you then need, when you've got Shelvey and Longstaff, if you're going to have them two playing, have them two playing as two sitting in that two in front of a back four with three in front of them in midfield, whether that be Saint, Miggy and Ian other out on the right, whether that's Murphy or Richie, and then Wilson in front of them. Because if you've got that bank of three in front of them, they've then got somebody to give the ball to that can get forward. That's essentially what Arsenal did to us. Yeah. They had two rows in midfield of a two and a three before Aubameyang, and they overran us time after time after time in midfield.
Yeah, so you mentioned Jacob Murphy there. I'll come to you, Bestie. Somebody who we give a lot of credit to over the last few weeks now. He's been playing quite well. Another one where it's up there with another poor performance by Murphy. Not the Murphy that has been around over the last month or so. Is it just down to this one game where everyone's not pulling the weight? Or is that a standout poor performance by Jacob?
It's a weird one, Murphy, isn't it? Because he seems to be very streaky. Like, he has been all right this last... Even when the form wasn't great when he was playing, I thought he was doing okay when he played. But has he been playing above himself a little bit, maybe? Or has he just... Is it just that Arsenal found him out? Because it seemed to have happened quite a bit from what I saw. I'm not too sure. I'm a believer in giving him a bit more time. So, like, I certainly wouldn't. I mean, I'm saying that. But Mark makes a point earlier that if you're getting the most out of Wilson, so Maximan and Almiron, you probably have to play with the back four, which means that you're sacrificing. Yeah. Unless you play Murphy on the wing.
Unless you push him up on the right wing.
And thinking on, he's probably the best option to do because I've, Ryan Fraser, I've got no idea if he's alive even. Scotland haven't got a game. Scotland haven't got a game for a little while, so he's gone quiet. So yeah, maybe you might get more out of Murphy playing further forward. He's more of a threat because he's not a defender, is he? Like we've just talked there about if you play a back four, you've got to go with Lewis because or Kraft, let's say. Murphy doesn't come into the equation just because he just doesn't defend. You know, that's not his game. It's not his fault. You know, I mean, it's the same as you play anyone out of position. I'm not going to be able to do it. Matt Ritchie wouldn't play left back for the same reason. Or shouldn't. Yeah. So I think give him the benefit of the doubt. If you're sticking with the five, you've got to play him. And he's done all right. He's certainly done enough in the last month. I mean, he's been a big part of Newcastle kind of hitting that little bit of that getting those results together, that 8 points in four games, that's kind of looks like it might have helped him stay up. I agree with you there,
like Bestie. When you say, like, I think Murphy's done very well, considering it's not his position. He's done very well. And I think when it's not your natural position, there's going to be certain games where found out's maybe the wrong word, but certain times where you might look a little bit hesitant in that position. And I thought on Sunday, unfortunately, you're seeing that. And I'm not bashing him at all because it's very difficult, I think, when it's not your position. But also, when you think of the team around him, when he was even getting the ball, there's not many options, is there? When one of our players does physically get the ball, there isn't many people wanting it.
That's been the case. That's all over the pitch. That's a case, I think.
You've got maybe Wilson, like maybe or perhaps Saint. You've got other than that, you haven't really got other. Or again, you're asking Murphy to just carry the ball, just run, and it's
that's where that's where he's looked good in the last few games is when he's been going forward because he hasn't been asked to do that much coming back over because of the way that we've kind of set up, but. Jumping ahead to their second goal, I've got to point a massive finger at Jacob Murphy because he was so narrow for that second goal. He was basically playing as a right centre half, which completely left there. I can't remember who it was who basically got the ball out on the left, but he had an absolute acre. And then yet again, who the bloke that we've talked about for 90% of this podcast today, John Joe Shelby. What on earth he was doing for that second goal, meandering, sauntering around the pitch with no intention whatsoever to attempt to get back and try and block or anything. He couldn't care less.
There's been a few clips of Shelby doing the rounds over the last 24 hours. Somebody who says that, what was he said in his interview, it may not look like he's running or grafting, but his stats say otherwise.
My eyes must lie.
it's another game, and I think I'll just put the question out there, and I'll start with you, Bestie. Is this the end of John Joe Shelby in a Newcastle shirt? Do you think he'll be gone in the summer?
Nah, as long as Steve Bruce is there, John Joe Shelby will be there, I think. Bruce likes him. He was captain, wasn't he, yesterday?
Yeah, he's vice captain of the club, so whenever the sales in there, he's got the captain's armband,
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
I mean, for me, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't just give it to Matt Ritchie. Matt Ritchie is, we've said,
doesn't want it.
Time and time. Really, is that right?
Yeah,
Fernandez.
Teddy,
Kieran Clark.
Fabian Shelby, a better option.
Anybody with a bit of heart.
Aye. Shelby's, Bruce likes him, so as long as Bruce is there, Shelby's there for me. I think he'll be there next season. If Lascelles goes, he'll be captain next season. It'd be like when Jeremy was captain, remember that?
I've said honestly, right. I think one of the first shows I ever did, right, with you two, obviously Bestie wasn't here. I said, why have we not upgraded with centre midfielders, and we're still seeing the same story,
isn't it?
5 years on, 6 years on, where if Hayden's fit, Hayden and Shelby, arguably maybe your best. Sean Longstaff was an anomaly. We weren't even expecting him to be any good, and he came in and was wonderful over 10 games. Wonderful. Never repeated that form, but he was decent. I've banged the drum for Shelby many times that he's calm on the ball, has a decent eye for a pass, but even I kind of defend him. Even I can't. I mean, it's just absolutely shocking. And for him to be a captain, I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it. Like, what players around him must be looking, going, fuck, like, he's not even putting a shift in here, and this is what captain. Like, surely, man. Like, it's unbelievable. And the second goal, as Mark said, yes, he's just this fake run, wasn't it? It was like I'm walking dad and run. I'm kind of running, but I'm not like that little jog you do with the dance floor, like a dad does.
It was horrific. The run, do you know, like when you're crossing like a dual carriageway and the cars have already stopped for you, so you feel as if I'm going to jog a little bit. Feel as if like I'm going to let them pass as well.
And going back to Murphy, sorry, what Mark said, I don't know what your thoughts were on this. I felt he could have put his foot out and stopped the ball. I felt that the ball was really close to him when it went to that left winger. I just felt he just struck his foot out and stopped the ball, but he didn't.
If he was in the right wing back position where he should have been, he could have tackled him. He could have blocked the ball. He could have at least done something.
Yeah. We seem to have this problem all the time with right backs. Yedlin was the same. Wanted to hold hands with the centre half all the time.
Big criticism of Yedlin, wasn't it? Tucking inside.
It was so narrow. It was ridiculous.
It was. I do agree. And then in fairness as well. So it felt as if about 15 seconds before that, it felt this to me anyway, that Richie got in a very similar position and crossed it for Wilson. And guess what happened? Keeper comes out and just takes it. Within seconds, it felt like them going in exactly the same area in Aubameyang scores. And I couldn't believe he was so open. And I hate to say it, but Fernandes and Clark, I don't think have been very good at all recently. Like I've been a little bit critical of Clark. I don't really want to be because he's been a good servant. He's done fantastic for what I actually believe. But recent form, I mean, been very
some
good
errors,
for me.
Haven't like, there? There's been some big errors in
there has, there has. And I don't want to bang the drum about Lascelles because I don't even think he's good enough either, but there's something, and does it come to coaching? Does it come back to Steve Bruce? Does it come back to coaching? Do you know what it is? Overall, it probably does. It probably does. But based on what I'm saying, I just feel like even defensively, we don't look very good, like, to be honest with you. Look, we've got a mistake, if you know what I mean.
Clark has been a bit unpredictable the last few games, which is why I was actually surprised that he was the one of the three that stayed on Sunday when, obviously, Cher came on for Fernandes. Which I've got to say, at the point of when he came on, I thought it was absolutely amazing that he'd somehow got himself back fit and was able to play in the
machine,
game.
Man. Similar to Lejeune, like how Lejeune gets fit so quickly is ridiculous.
That's a lot of desire that, isn't it, from the player.
That's strong willpower, that.
Yeah. I mean, he's saying that, but he's just got himself another three games off. So
that's true.
What I was going to say.
Yeah,
so he's got the mentality to get himself back to the game, but then, as we've said he's got the mentality goes out the window on the pitch.
But let's have a chat about that then. Let's have a chat. Is that a red card?
Take us in nicely to that one.
So yeah, Degger, is that a red card?
Absolutely not. Not Bestie. A chance now.
Nah, that's not. Mark. It's a yellow card, certainly, but not a red.
It shouldn't be, should it? It shouldn't be.
You were a bit on the fence there, Mark.
No, it shouldn't be. But in this day and age, if you go to ground and you go in and tackle in from behind and come through the back of a player, you're dicing with it. You're asking for it.
He hasn't really. It's not.
I know you said he came in sideways, but he definitely comes in.
I was watching the Mr. Roy video at the time, but he doesn't come through the back of him to me. Is the bloke's got his back to him 180 degrees and he's just wiped him out. And he hasn't. They've both gone for the same ball. Sher happens to have come from a little bit further away, and he's touched his foot, but it's a yellow card. And for me, no more than that. It's a daft challenge to make. There's no need to make it 2-0 down where they were on the pitch.
This is what I like about Sher. Sher was very similar to what Coloccini used to be like. Coloccini used to just see red, then just go for it.
I don't think he was going in for a bad tackle or anything.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, but obviously frustrating and being 2-0 down. Yeah, he's thought, fuck this, I'm going to put a tackle in here. But that's what he's been thinking. But the thing that annoyed me is even the commentators at the time were saying, is the red card? And they were doubting it. Then it went to VAR. Then VAR confirmed that it was a red card. I'm thinking, how have you came up with that decision there when you've looked at it back?
It's the clear and obvious error thing, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
They're not saying he's got it completely wrong because there was contact. He came in from behind.
You look earlier on the pitch and Miguel Almirón gets booked for another player hitting his foot during a challenge. So Almirón goes in and puts a great challenge in, and it's because the Arsenal player screams as he's going down, even though there was no contact made with him. It's
to the ground.
Bruce said that, and I know a lot of people don't like what Bruce says, but he said that after the game, that he says, "Would there be no crowd there? You can hear every scream." And he went, that lad literally screamed like as loud as he possibly could. And he said, I'm not saying that that swayed the referee, but it might have. And he maybe got a point there. I actually thought Xhaka should have been sent off.
Absolutely. Xhaka,
surely that's a second card. There we go. No doubt.
If Xhaka runs out of his way to block off, is it Longstaff that he blocks off?
Yeah, I think
he's already
been
booked. Yeah, I mean, on about Bruce and the crowd, I mean, the crowd are constantly living rent free in Bruce's head, which, as we all know, Bruce doesn't like.
I just mean that point, though. I just mean that point, you know.
Yeah,
subtle, I like it.
All right, okay. I thought there was another conversation.
he's just planting the seed.
I thought he was going to say something else. Performance-wise, from start to finish, absolutely horrendous. No effort, no fight, no desire in that one. Like we've said a couple of times tonight, didn't lay a glove on them. Lads were on the holidays far too early, and they had their flip-flops on when there's still plenty of play for here in regards to Premier League survival. It's not finished yet.
And that's why we're getting annoyed so much, is because that's the one thing we ask, isn't it? As fans, the one thing is to go out and at least try. And they didn't. I didn't care what any of them would say to us. No, I don't believe they did at all.
And that's what annoys me the most anything is the lack of commitment and lack of effort.
Mm. Julie says there, obviously between the TV cutting at Old Trafford several times in the game, swear they've been the game off if they could have. So yeah. just call it a deal, lads. We're not getting back into it. So, the scenes that we saw at Old Trafford, Man United fans take it upon themselves to protest and obviously getting the game postponed and called off in the end of it. What are your thoughts on that one? I know there's been a lot of criticism for Newcastle fans for not doing something similar underneath Mike Ashley's ownership. But I'll come to you, Mark. What's your thoughts on everything?
So a bit of a mixed bag, I think, in the grand scheme of things, to be able to put forward your view to show that you're not happy to make a statement to the footballing world about what's gone on in the last week and a half, something like that. There's no better way to do that. They showed their unrest, they showed their displeasure towards the owners, as other clubs have done in the recent week and 2 weeks. But what you do get when you have these situations is you'll have one or two absolute idiots, absolute knobheads that get in amongst that, who take things a step too far. And we've now seen things like footage of like glass doors being kicked in and smashed to bits. We've seen bottles and cans being thrown. Obviously, a policeman's been injured and been scarred and that kind of thing. So that's the side of it that you don't want to see. But as a statement, it's very, very clear, the statement that they have made and their displeasure, and you've got to give them, you know, credit for doing that. I don't think they had the intention of looking to have the game postponed, because they probably didn't even expect to be able to get into the ground and be able to get onto the pitch. But it just shows you how easy it was for it to happen, to get that many people inside of the ground. But some of the scenes are terrible, but you can't tarnish all of the fans and all of the people that were there with that brush. In a large group of people, you'll have numpties and idiots that'll take things too far.
I'll come to you, Bessie, because I think it was perfectly summed up by the lads in the Sky Sports who were at Old Trafford. So you had Mikko Richards, Neville Carragher, who were, and Roy Keane, sorry, who were basically saying these fans have got every right to do what they're doing now. Then on the other fence, you had Souness, who sounded like he had been sat in a social club most of the afternoon, just absolutely down as many pints as you possibly could. Who's the presenter?
Dave Jones.
Jesus Christ. Absolutely. He didn't cover himself in any glory, like. Jesus. What were your thoughts on it, Bestie?
Broadly speaking, the same as Mark. I thought it was brilliant. Like, that's, to me, what a protest should be. You should be looking to cause... Well, no, not injuring people. Not like kind of that cop that ended up with a scar. You don't want to see that.
To cause disruption, though, aren't you?
as much disruption as you possibly can whilst being peaceful for me. So if you can get in the stadium, sit on the pitch, do it. Like, that's a protest to me. Like, that's probably it gets people talking. And that's the issue with there's videos of that kid throwing a camera, like a tripod over the advertising hall, the polish with a scar on his cheek. And that's become the story. It's, oh, look, he's unruly. Yob. And that's not what it should be. It should be about Man United, who've, it's not just about the Super League thing for Man U. The Glazers, for all the money, someone, I think Match of the Day might have been, had a graphic of Man United have spent so many hundreds of million since the Glazers came in. And they had Andy Mitten, I think it was, who was a Man United kind of fanzine editor, who was saying, yeah, but they've also spent so much of the club's money on the interest incurred from the loan when they bought the club, because they bought the club of Man U's money, didn't they? That was the kind of... That was the start of the green and gold
taking out billions.
Close to a billion in interest, apparently.
So, I think we have to remember how big of a club Manchester United are across the world. Yeah,
and they've every right to do it. I don't buy the thing. Oh well, they should be happy because they're second in the league and all that. And that's not how it works. It's, you get people saying, "Oh, but Newcastle are in a worse shape." But then when Newcastle, they'd be saying, "Oh, but what about Wigan? What about Bury? What about Leeds 15 years ago, something," you know, it's kind of the club aren't being very well run at the minute. The Super League thing was kind of a symptom of what's been going on with Man U. Like, the Glazers do not care about families in Salford, about families in Withenshaw, whoever, who are Man U fans for generations. My sister-in-law's boyfriend is a Man U fan. His dad's a season. I went to the game with his dad on Boxing Day a couple of years ago, the 4-1 defeat. We went to the same card a few beers together, but you know, it's that proper, as much football fans as we are, or as what pals who support Sunderland are, or Leeds, or whoever, just because they're successful doesn't make them less of a fan, you know what I mean? And there are more tourists, there are more day trippers and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I'm kind of digressing massively there, actually. But for me, it causes as much disruption as possible, but just don't hurt people. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Goes without saying, doesn't it?
Don't be a dick.
Aye. Yeah, goes without saying. Dega, what's your thoughts on it, mate?
Well, I was really interested to hear their thoughts before I had a go, actually, because I totally agree. I thought the protest was fantastic, to be honest. I thought to get that many numbers, to get it organised, to have that many there was tremendous. I do want to touch slightly for 1 second on the Chelsea one when they all sat on the ground and wouldn't allow the bus to come in. I actually also thought that was quite a good idea. I thought that was very, very good. You're not causing anybody any injury there except yourself if you're getting over by a bus. So you're not causing any damage to anyone or hurting anyone or any property. You know what I mean? You're just stopping the players from coming in.
There's a fact that Pierre Cech had to go get off the coach and like try and go out, right, lads.
What Bestie's saying there, the point he's made about as much disruption as possible without actually causing, you know, physical harm to someone or anyone, I think is really important. And the problem that you have is I know Souness was banging on about, of course, listen, hey, I'm not agreeing with Souness, but I wouldn't have liked to have been sitting there and someone trying to flare me. I will be honest here. Like, I wouldn't want that. However, at the same time, like what Keane was trying to say and Mika Richards and all the rest of them was, they weren't condoning that. They were saying that is bad. That is really bad. However, the bigger picture of what the fans are trying to do is fantastic. And you know what it is? I think what they've done could really change everything within football. I really feel that other clubs may learn from that, or other owners might think, fucking hell, the heat's going to be on here in weeks to come, you know, and I think it's a massive moment for football, I think, to be honest. But to what Bestie said, or maybe Mark, was the bad thing you've got is these images of the police officer, for example, and it's awful. It's just not on. That is unacceptable. But the message of what it is sometimes gets taken away because that's the front cover. Policeman scored. Yobs footballer, yobs as usual. And I hate that because the overall prime message sometimes gets taken away. So that's upsetting. But, you know, in a nutshell, I thought it was very good, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. What I want to highlight here is, like I said, when we first started talking about this, is a lot of Newcastle fans are having to dig at other Newcastle fans saying, all that we managed to do was shout at a shop, which is right. I'm not saying it's anything other than that. And obviously having a pretend and mock
it's funeral. There is groups that have attempted to do more.
Attempted, yeah, but this is what I'm trying to say. So the difference between the protests which we're seeing right now and protests in the past is fans don't have an option of an open turnstile. that's not there. That's taken away from them. So if it was Newcastle fans in this sort of situation now, where the option to walk into the ground isn't there, that then you might see different things. Of course you will.
Great.
But for some reason, Newcastle fans just can't not go to the game. It's been there's been God knows how many boycotts in the past, tried to arrange from different fan groups, and it just never happened. It really hasn't. You see a few hundred not going in the ground, and that's it. And you see a few people shouting outside the ground, holding banners, but that's about it. Carry on, mate.
No, I do agree there, and I've seen a lot of Newcastle fans saying, like, yeah, we're too thick and we're too busy to give Ashley £600. Not to be funny here, but every Man United haven't had a game that hasn't sold out. Like, all them fans that were probably there yesterday go to the game anyway. Like, them have never had a boycott of a game or not go in on this minute or come out on that minute. Like, they're there every single week, 60,000, week in, week out. Obviously, there's no fans allowed in, and they've went hell for leather. Good luck to them. Mm-hmm. But that one doesn't wash with me very well when they say, like, oh, well, we'd be too busy because we'd be going to the game. Man United fans, and also to point out what Suna says, horrendous comment. They're just doing it because they're not top dogs anymore. When them were winning the league and all the rest of it, them were there with Glazers out signs, the green and yellow scarves, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
They've been trying to do it since day one of them coming in the club. So it's another thing that doesn't wash with us when they say they're only doing it because they're not top dogs anymore. But I think to say that, listen, what I will say, would we as passionate as that? Would you see us doing that? We wouldn't. Let's be fair, we wouldn't, right? Because we've had the opportunity and we've had a cabbage on a gate or we've stood with the odd banner here and there. We haven't went as... We've nowhere near of what Man United did. But in terms of saying that we'd be too busy going to the game, I disagree with, because Man United have sold out every single week for years.
I think
a big thing with Newcastle fans are protests. I remember one, and I forget which game it was now, it might be in Cardiff, which actually it's the anniversary of today, the 3-0 win, when I had the walkout. They had a walkout on different times. Because you had one fan group saying,
I want to say 17th minute was the first one which was muted.
Yeah, because I did.
Now went 21st or something.
Something I can't remember exactly, but I remember I walked out. I think I went with the first group, but there was two different groups, and they wouldn't kind of compromise with one another. They wouldn't say, "Well, we'll just, you know, the one of them could have said, oh, well, we'll just do it on this time because, you know," and it was that. I think that's a problem. You see it in Newcastle at a minute on Twitter in particular, which I know is only a faction, a tiny
small
amount of what's going on.
Newcastle fans, yeah,
but it's. It's this thing with kind of people going about podcast wars on Twitter or whatever it is, and like there's certain groups that just will not listen to what anyone else has got to say. And this isn't a dig at any of the podcasts, this isn't a dig at any individuals, but people are so tribal that if an idea hasn't come from a certain source or isn't endorsed by, they'll go, oh, we're not doing that. We think it's a fucking stupid idea. And that works both ways. If someone had you can probably all guess who I've got in mind here. But if they had a perfectly good idea that was workable, that would make a difference, you would get some people that are so against what they say and what they do that would go, oh, no, we're not doing that, we don't want to be involved in that. And there's not that unity. For me, at least, and that's been a problem with Newcastle for as long as I can remember, when they've been trying to mobilise against Ashley with walkouts. I did one where we walked in late to a game and we got didn't get booed by the whole stadium, but we certainly got booed by people in the Strawberry Corner. So
is that the one where they turned the TVs off?
Yeah, TVs off in the concourse. Right. Concourse, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right, aye. Because I was in the Strawberry. Yeah. I was in a bar. I mean, I've often turn up the game 5 minutes late anyway, so that don't. I mean, it wasn't that big a protest for me, but
yeah, it was not near for us. It's just a normal match day.
But you're saying, hang on there, though, Bestie. He is right there, though, because when that I remember when that minute that it was going to be was arranged, and you know, it was getting a bit of momentum, and there was quite a lot of interest on Twitter, blah blah. Why would another group or somebody else go, well, I want to make it this minute?
Yeah, like, back the original one.
Just back the original one and just get on with it. Like, it's just. It's unbelievable, really, and it's quite desperate and sad, isn't it? Really,
that you haven't come up with the idea.
Just be like, listen, we just do what we're told. To be honest with you, just be like,
pretty
us.
Much.
Honestly, it can be arse with the drama, me. Like, honestly, I couldn't be, but yeah, I mean, it is a shame that we haven't been able to you know, to do it as I don't know the right word, maybe as fierce or as together as what that one was, because yesterday was such a movement within football.
Great to see. Yeah, well, it was great to see. It really was. Lads, that's what's done for tonight. Unless you've got anything else to mention,
Gary Nixon.
Gary Nixon, yeah, I've seen it. Gary Nixon said Gallo late shots.
he knows us so well.
But yeah, that's the final nail in the coffin.
Who?
right. Anything else to say, boys? Because that's us logging out tonight, unless you have anything else.
Are we staying up?
I've got a bed. I can't see Fulham have to win the three games, then obviously get something out of our game as well. I can't see it happening.
I'm the same, to be fair.
I think we'll stay up now. It's by no means 100%, but it's very likely that we'll stay up now. I think if Fulham lose one more, that's it, isn't it?
Well, the nine points behind, so they have to win the next three, really, have any chance of surviving.
We have to lose all of ours.
It looks like Big Sam's on his way out, obviously, because they drew the night, didn't they?
Yeah, so they only got a point.
Then we're done weeks ago, but it's just nice that it's getting close to being official, which is lovely. No offence to West Brom, actually, I just mean Big Sam.
I like West Brom, but
I've got nothing against them, actually, it's just him.
No, if Sam Allardyce managed us now, I'd want us to get relegated as well.
Well, we're bored like that with Steve Bruce, to be honest, mate.
Mark, do you think we'll stay up?
Yeah, I've said it for the last couple of weeks now. We've done enough in the last couple of games with the points that we've picked up and the couple of surprise wins that we've had. Burnley will beat Fulham and that'll do them, I think.
And you look back at a couple of games ago and you get, all right, we've climbed up to 15th or what it is. Then now you're right back in the fourth bottom.
It felt within minutes as well. We're like 15th. I was like, hey, you know what it is? If we win the next one, we might even go 12th. And
it was a bit
stupid.
Like that.
Why am I looking up? Why am I doing that?
And I use this analogy for absolutely everything, but you know, in the third Matrix film, is that right, little bit where they fly above the cloud and it's like, oh, this is great, this. And then they come back to
the drop.
It's that. Aye. Yeah, it is. That was us in 15th.
Yeah, we're running out of fuel, like 100%.
Leicester Friday night. I've got good memories of playing Leicester on a Friday night.
Oh, so we're doing a live one for that.
So, I'm free on Friday night, so I'll certainly be able to do a live watch along.
Nighttimes are better for me.
I heard as well that the last two times we've secured safety have both been against Leicester as well.
Oh. All right.
Yeah. I might have just...
That's a stat I haven't read.
I'm pretty sure it was Ketchell that said that. I'm pretty confident it was.
Just it was not West Ham that time when Jonas scored, and that was a big deal of staying up. Was that not West Ham?
That was like 3 or 4 years ago.
No, it was longer than that. We've been relegated since then.
No, but what was the question? What was the question?
The last two times we've secured safety.
Oh, I apologise. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you said like... Right, sorry. The last two. Right, sorry. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Right, sorry. I misread the question there. Yeah.
Maybe because it was that one where the crowd stayed and you got Rafa and get interviewed and the crowd over there giving it 6-0.
Yeah. That was that one. Yeah. That was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, it was one where Rafa was getting interviewed by Jamie Carragher, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I had a good conversation because he was basically slating Mike Ashley. That's when he started turning, just literally go to town on Ashley. It was that one. Boys, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, as always. I've enjoyed this one, even though it's on the back of a 2-0 defeat. I've enjoyed this one tonight.
Same, I didn't even watch a game and I've quite enjoyed talking about it. So.
I didn't enjoy watching it.
It's a better way of doing it.
Well, I watched it twice.
At least you didn't do a deck. I watched it twice.
It was so bad, I watched it twice.
I watched it more than what Shelby did. And he was playing.
Well, honestly, the second time I literally just watched Shelby and go, what the fuck are you doing? Just going off with him. Yeah.
Right.
Now you know how I feel week in, week out.
True.
Everybody watching, if you do want to like the video, we will massively appreciate that as well. If you want to subscribe to the channel, or even better, if you do want to become a member, then we thank you very much for that. We'll see you next time.
What if they want to buy a badge, Chris?
If they want to buy a badge, don't have any handy.
Hang on, I do. You're letting us down, yeah.
If you want to buy a badge,
look at that, man.
You can get one of these.
Snazzy. I should.
Look at their beautiful faces on there, man.
I showed Amy the kind of kiss.
The badge. Look at the postcard. The box that
you put together. And Amy goes, are you picking your teeth? And I'm like, oh, God, I think I am.
I think you're scratching the corner of your mouth.
I do that quite a bit, aye.
Yeah. Got a chicken nugget stuck in there.
I thought Bestie was like kind of leaning, like doing like a fist pump, like get in, like that. That's what I thought you were doing, to be honest. But
you want to pay Jackson, were you? Like, because you look lush on here, like, mate.
Do I?
Oh, mate, you're like an absolute Adonis, and you don't look like in real life.
I've never looked lush. Spirits look fucking dreadful in them.
Never looked lush in my life.
Right, thanks very much. See you all later. Thanks everybody for watching, and we'll see you during the week. Plenty more to come.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Right.